Welcome to Androids and Assets, a weekly podcast about the political economy of all of our favorite science fiction and fantasy series. Join us as we investigate the hidden meanings in fantastic worlds and what the future can tell us about today. We upload new episodes every Monday. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Androids and Assets. I'm Marshall.
And I'm Steven.
And today we're talking about Rick and Morty. Wubba lubba dub dub!
Aw, oh, gee, Marshall. I don't know if this campy themed intro is a very good idea.
Season 3 of Rick and Morty has just recently ended. So we're going to take a couple of minutes here and just talk about some of the things that we've seen in Rick and Morty and how we feel about very particular, specific pieces of the show.
We are just going for the minutiae here. We are just digging in and... Yeah, there's a lot of things we're not going to talk about, don't care about. Also, spoilers, so yeah, look out for those. Also, I'm Rick in our relationship.
I'll take that. I'm Morty. I have a conscience. So the first topic should be no surprise to anybody. We're going to talk about currency. The first episode of Season 3, Rickshank Redemption. There's one thing that happens where
it's
Rick...
Kind of a throwaway line, actually.
It's a very much a throwaway line. Huge plot point, but a throwaway line. Rick... devalues the Blemflark from one Blemflark equaling one to one Blemflark equaling zero. And all of a sudden, money was worthless, and the entire Galactic Federation fell into chaos, the president killed himself, and Earth was liberated. This is something that I think happens in Rick and Morty from time to time, that they take something that is mostly true, almost true, that devaluing a currency has major impacts and can destabilize nation states. Absolutely a true thing. The way that they did it and how simply they did it and the impact of that was way overblown. Because this is a huge Galactic Federation with, 6,000 planets? The actual value of the single piece of currency, one, isn't controlled by a government computer, and two, wouldn't even really matter in the grand scheme. Other things would pop up to take its place.
It's also really weird because they talk in that episode also great too about pills, how everything is done in pills. So
yeah, there's
have,
no food.
So anymore. how you can have people talking about being paid in like 600,000 pills and like a six-figure pill salary, and then be like it's such a big deal this currency is gone. It's very strange.
Inconsistent.
It does not follow. Yeah. I personally wish we were on a pill economy. Point is the Blemflark. There's no central Blemflark control computer that you need level 9 access, which seems like a very low level of access for accessing and controlling the currency. And it ties into this broader point that bureaucracy is always bad and that it's stupid and that it's vulnerable. And so they kind of do this. They go after schools, they go after governments, they go after any sort of institution as kind of being like... Not on the grounds that those institutions are problematic or have particular things they do that are bad, but just on the basis of by the fact that they are institutions, they are inherently flawed. And so an institution can never be a solution to a problem. And this is, and this, I think, resounds with a lot of people who are very frustrated with the institutions in their lives.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's sort of that Randian...
The soft Randianism.
Soft Randianism.
Coming back, yeah.
Just got to do it on your own, and if you just do your thing and you're... the best that you can be. Institutions don't matter.
Yeah, if you're smart enough, you'll make it happen for you.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we see this also in like the Citadel of Ricks.
Yeah.
Why would I ever want to be part of the Citadel of Ricks? It's just another bureaucracy and I'm too good to be part of that. So I'm just going to jump back to the currency piece here that we were talking about. It's sort of like there's a kernel of truth to this, that devaluing currency is actually a really dangerous thing. We've seen it happen in other countries where currency does get devalued. And we have a very real fear in some ways right now about China holding too much currency of American currency. That whenever the Americans are selling debt, taking out a loan, it's the Chinese who are buying American currency.
Or Gulf states.
Right, yeah. And have these large stockpiles of American currency. Having that currency out there helps set the overall value of the American currency. And if they decided at any time to just flood the market with American currency, you could really destabilize how much an American dollar would buy
globally.
Globally.
Marketplace, yeah.
Yeah. And that would have an impact on on the Americans themselves when they're trying to buy other stuff, other goods in the market. It would be really harmful for the Americans. It would also be really harmful for the Chinese and for the Gulf states. A lot of times they're doing this to help prop up and stabilize the
entire these are legitimately investments for their
yeah, absolutely. They're not
these are pensions, these are trusts for government employees, these are savings for future projects.
Yeah, it's not always a nefarious plot by the communists. These are just people making business decisions and helping to prop up, you know, late stage capitalism in the United States that sometimes faces some difficulties. Like any elder, sometimes it just needs to be caught when it's going to fall.
Renal failure is going to happen sometime. Renal failure is going to set in eventually.
So Rick and Morty.
I think Florida's so sick.
As a throwaway, like, oh, by the way, we can just destabilize the currency. Done. Now the Galactic Federation is reduced to dust. Earth is liberated. Thank goodness for Rick. It's one of those things that kind of rubbed me. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Gross. And I think, so...
Why did it rub you? Why did it make you think?
For what we just kind of discussed, of like, that was just not a good way to talk about, like, to represent it, or for all of the other multitude of ways that you could destabilize a Galactic Federation or force them off of Earth, they chose sort of this throwaway nothingness of, we'll just make their currency worth nothing, and then obviously they'll just leave, right?
Yeah, in a kind of way that it is not, maybe sounds smart if you don't think about it too much, but if you actually start thinking about it, it's actually kind of crazy. Kind of a crazy way to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of stupid.
Pretty dumb.
pretty dumb.
Pretty dumb for the smartest guy in the entire universe.
Yeah. So, piece number two.
Yeah, and it's kind of along the same lines of, like, things that, like, are smart if you don't think about them, but are actually super dumb. And it's this piece about the Middle East peace process that, you know, Rick it kind of gets nodded to several times. And I think in the Vindicated episode, there's a big piece about how when Rick gets drunk, he goes on about his solution to the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. And in the end, like, you know, as an FU to the president of the United States, for whom Israel, the crisis in Israel is apparently a very big thing for him personally, Rick solves it just to say, like, fuck you, I did it, you didn't. So, you know, that's good. But the way he does it is basically like, yeah, well, they smoke perspective swapping pheromones through a laser bong or something like that in a weird alien strip club. And that, you know, and so basically it's this thing of like, you know what, forget all this other stuff, forget the systemic issues, forget the economics of it, forget the massive militaries on, you know, the massive military industrial complex. If we just got two guys in a room and they just, like, you know, smoked a little drugs and really talked it out, man, fix it. Problem solved. Like, thousands of stoners in basements have beat you to this, Rick. That's not really a solution. And if it were, I really think if it were the solution that, like, just, like, two people being rational and thinking it through and really trying to see from the other person's perspective was going to work, it would have. Because at some point, two people who were compassionate would have, you know, like, sat down in a room together.
I think it's happened multiple times that they've had leaders of both sides, multiple leaders from Palestine and the leader of Israel, and it doesn't work. It's just not enough. There's too much sort of historical inertia behind this situation that you can't just have two guys be like, oh, wait, no, I like you, you like me. Let's stop our entire people from hating each other and having border walls and...
And the fact that, like, there are huge economic and social drivers and things like that. Like, you know, so I read, this is an old statistic, but I think in, like, 2008, the United States gave approximately $200 per person in Israel in defense aid to the IDF. So basically that means that, like, you know, so, like, they are receiving a multi-billion dollar subsidy from the United States to maintain their war machine. And that money is by and large contingent on them proceeding to annex more and more of the Palestinian Authority, right? So it's just this, like battle, like, and that's just one of very, very small things in terms of what's going on there. So, yeah, this notion that, like, you can just, like, oh, yeah, we'll just talk it out is, it's crazy. It's just so dumb. So dumb, Rick and Morty.
Not great.
Real dumb.
And I think the third piece that maybe it's not something that is as specific is the first two. We're just really unclear about the gender politics
yeah.
of Rick and Morty. There are times that it seems really, really misogynist. And then there's other times that it's almost like they see themselves being misogynist and want to say, oh, no, but we're not. We're not misogynist. Yeah. Like, no, but we needed a yeah. woman to solve yeah. that yeah. problem.
We're gonna get Summer in here. Summer's in the team now. We're not excluding her anymore. Or, like, whatever. We're like, you know, look at Beth. She's amazing. Jerry's an idiot.
Yeah. I particularly think of...
Raising to Zorp a Zorp?
No, I was thinking we're doing Rick... Or we're doing Morty... Morty Memories?
Oh, Morty's Mind Blowers.
Morty's yeah. Mind Blowers.
Yeah, with featuring the Sandman.
Morty's Mind Blowers. Neil Gaiman's
the Sandman in the intro there.
At the very end, Summer comes in and solves the problem for Rick and Morty.
Yeah, well, is this a scenario 27? Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa, is this a situation 3? Who are you? Oh, it's a situation 4. Wow.
Again, guys?
And then she solves the problem, yeah. which is fine and is great. But there's also other episodes where women are just sort of the throwaway where... Yeah Raising Gazorp or Zorp is a great...
Yeah.
The women are enlightened, but they're also...
Gross caricatures.
Very gross characters.
Yeah. I like one of our friends, Mitch, you know. He said that he described it as superposition. Like how Rick and Morty, and I think a lot of things in media, occupy a state where they overlap. They're kind of both things at the same time. It's vague enough that people kind of, misogynists will watch and be like, yeah, women, am I right? And people who don't have those views will watch it and will say, like, oh, this is tilting at that. Like, Summer burns Rick about the minimum wage and stuff like that. But, you know, or the wage disparity. Sorry, not the minimum wage. The wage disparity, you know, and things like that. So people kind of see what they want to see, and everyone just kind of goes away feeling affirmed. And this is perhaps, I think, a major engine of success of this television show. In the sense that what's important is that you watch it. And I think in our case, it certainly has worked. We watch it.
I watch it.
We watch it. But man, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it gets hard. And it gets confusing. I think it's particularly weird. It's super interesting how Rick and Morty as a television show intersects with the internet. And then ultimately, I think, with reality.
With the real world.
Yeah. We're getting into Szechuan sauce here.
Happened really recently. Rick and Morty in the Rick Shank Redemption. Had a throwaway plot piece about going into Rick's memory for Szechuan sauce, because that's the only place in the infinite timelines that he's actually able to get Szechuan sauce, is he can only remember it because it's never made anywhere else again. And Rick and Morty fans demanded from McDonald's that they wanted that Szechuan sauce.
This Mulan cross-promotional chicken nugget sauce that they put out in, what, when did Mulan come out? 2000?
Who even
1998
cares?
Or something, 97? Yeah.
They had the Szechuan sauce. And McDonald's tried to appease fans by doing like a super exclusive, limited run, probably whatever was left in some warehouse in New Mexico. Found some Szechuan sauce. Let's distribute 3...
20 years old.
Whatever, to each store. And then whoever gets it. And they can be like, see, we gave you Szechuan sauce. Mm-hmm. It completely backfired when Rick and Morty fans kind of lost it. And now McDonald's is going to do like an all-new run of Szechuan sauce. In December, there's going to be lots of Szechuan sauce. And anybody who wants it can get it. And I think this talks about sort of the power of TV and you know, because we talk about it, science fiction, affecting reality. They talked about Szechuan sauce. And people went, we want Szechuan sauce. And now they're getting Szechuan sauce. You can influence people in the here and now about what they think and what they believe and what they want and make it actually happen. And Rick and Morty and Rick and Morty fans chose Szechuan sauce. That's how they're changing the world. They're bringing back Szechuan sauce.
Yeah, they made it happen.
They could have talked about peace in the Middle East and demanded peace in the Middle East.
But that's just two guys in a room, Marshall. Smoking some perspective swapping pheromones.
And it's sort of frustrating that of all the things that you could have fixed or all the problems you want to demand solutions for, you demanded another dipping sauce. Kind of anticlimactic.
Well, and this is the kind of thing that I think, like, and this tilts it. Not, this is not a Rick and Morty problem anymore. This is a Western late capitalism. Western civilization problem.
Certainly.
But it's a sense that, yeah, the thing that, you know, everything else being so polarized, that the only thing left to really unite around is consumerism. We can all gather around the warm hearth of liking a consumable product, and we can make that happen. But not if it's Firefly. That's never coming back. I know. I'm sorry if this hurts you, but you need to be told.
Aw, jeez. It fits with Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And demand your Szechuan sauce, and you're gonna watch Rick and Morty, and just be complacent. And don't worry about the bigger problems, because bureaucracy has already ruined the world for everybody. All you can do now is just live for yourself, be as good as you can be, and get that damn Szechuan sauce.
Fuck yeah.
Music from this episode has been from An Ant and an Atom. Thanks so much for your support.